This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
State Affairs Committee, please come to order. I'd like to welcome all of you that are here today. A special welcome to our STEAM group from Watertown. These folks have been coming out every year for how many years? About 12 years, and spending a couple days out here, and I always figured we were going to bore them to death one of these years, that they wouldn't want to come back, but apparently we're not doing that, so welcome back. Welcome to everyone else today, and also welcome to our listeners that are listening live as we broadcast via the internet. While we're on that subject, I'd like to remind everyone here that this is a public meeting being broadcast live over the internet, and all the audio will be archived and available over the internet for anyone to listen to. So anyone, anything that you or I say here today will be available to the general public's listening pleasure for the remainder of your lifetime. A reminder that if you have cell phones with you today, they should now be turned off or on the vibrate mode. And speaking of that, we do have a little bit of a rule in these committees that if somebody's cell phone goes off, there's a penalty consisting of donuts. And Mr. Bob Ryder, a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of days ago, I guess it was last week, only been a lobbyist for about 40 years, but forgot to shut his cell phone off. So the committee can't eat all the donuts. If anyone in the audience would like a donut or a roll, they're right in that box in the front row. So please feel free to help yourself. That's why we have plenty of rolls around here for us that we can find. So help yourself. With that, you're all set. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Representative Boomgarten.
Here.
Ingalls.
Here.
Feinstein.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Lucas,
here.
Lust,
here.
Rausch,
yep.
Rave,
here.
Steele,
here.
Turberville,
here.
Nome,
here.
Fain,
here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Do we, at this point, any questions on the minutes from the previous meeting? If not, Chair would approve a motion. Motion by Noam, second by Rausch to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion approved. All right, also at this time, I want to remind you that if you're going to testify on any of the bills here today, there is a sign-in sheet right there in between the two doors, and please remember to sign in if you're going to testify today. Also, if you're testifying on behalf of any organization, you must be wearing a badge before you can testify. And also, if you have handouts, they can be distributed by our pages that are both moving around quickly at this time. And they will be settled in here in the front row soon. If you need anything distributed, please let them know. They will help you with that. We'll introduce them a little later. With that, we will take up our first bill of the day is House Bill 1034 to revise certain provisions relating to earnings subject to garnishment. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1034? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I got it. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rich Satgast. I'm the state auditor for the state of South Dakota. With me this morning is Judy Flagstad. She is the payroll supervisor for the Office of the State Auditor and handles payroll for the state of South Dakota, as well as handling garnishments of state employees. I would like to thank the committee and the chair for their leniency on deferring this bill. Due to certain circumstances that were beyond my control on not being here when the bill first came up, and I'd like to thank the committee for that. House Bill 1034 is a bill that is primarily a compliance legislation to comply with federal regulations in garnishments. As of July 2009, federal minimum wage standards will be changing. Now, this bill does not change minimum wage in South Dakota. It just merely changes the way we calculate garnishments in South Dakota to comply with federal regulations. Under the current system in South Dakota, it differs from federal the federal standards. On federal standards, if you take a look at line 7 and line 8 of the printed bill, you'll see that in South Dakota, 20% of disposable earnings for that week are for the calculation of determining the, how much will be taken for garnish purposes. And if you look at subsection 2 of that, it may not exceed 40 times the federal minimum wage. Now, in federal regulations, those numbers are 25% of disposable earnings for calculation or 30 times the federal minimum wage. But since South Dakota is more lenient to the debtor than federal regulations, we're able to have our own standards for garnishment since we're more lenient. The only thing the federal regulations under Title III state is that the states cannot be take more out of garnishments than what federal regulations allow. Primarily what this legislation is going to do is just bring us into compliance, because as of July 24th, 2009, the federal minimum wage will be increased. And in order for South Dakota to be in compliance, we need to adhere to that federal minimum wage for calculations. And the way that the garnishment is calculated is that you first take, in South Dakota, you take 40 times that federal minimum wage, which is will be changing to $7.25 an hour. And that sets the base of disposable. You first set your disposable income, and then you multiply the 40 times 7.25, which sets the base before any garnishment can be taken. And at that $7.25, that would be $290 that will be exempt from garnishments. Anything above that then can be garnished. You take what their disposable income is and subtract the $290, and that sets what can be garnished. Now, at the current rate is that at about $362, if their disposable income is at about $362, you to use that 40 times rate. Anything above that, then you multiply the 20% times the federal minimum wage, you take the 20% times what their disposable income is, and then that sets how much can be garnished. But primarily, as I was stating, this is just compliance legislation, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Zagast. Any further proponents to House Bill 1034? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1034? Any opponents? Seeing none, any questions from committee members? Pretty easy to get along with today, aren't we? No questions. We'll move into this committee discussion and or action. Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I move do pass.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1034. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Noem. Any further discussion?
No, Mr. Chairman. I think it's been said.
Very good. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we have a do pass motion on House Bill 1034. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Rausch.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 13 yes.
House Bill 1034 with unanimous vote will go to the House floor with a do pass recommendation. We have moved consent. Any objection? House Bill 1034 with no objection will go to the House floor on the consent calendar. House Bill 1112 establishing, oh, by the way, on the consent calendar, Representative Feinstein, would you be prepared to answer any questions should that come up? Thank you very much. House Bill 1112 would establish certain restrictions and notification requirements related to encumbrances on wind easements. House Bill 1112, do we have any proponents to House Bill 1112? Good morning again, Representative Hunoff.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the illustrious State Affairs Committee. So I appreciate this opportunity. Wind energy, as I think all of you know,
I'm sorry, Hunoff, I did, but why don't you, for the record, introduce yourself.
Excuse me. I'm Bernie Hunoff, State Representative from Yankton County, District 18. Thank you. Wind energy is going to be a growing industry in South Dakota. It already has been. And I think the only question really remains how it grows and who it benefits. And the big challenge, I believe, for this legislature in the near term is to make sure that the landowners' rights are protected and to try to find ways also that communities reap the most benefits as possible from the new industry. Now, there are some the easements that are being circulated around rural South Dakota, and they're being circulated today as we speak. There are people out in the country talking to farmers and ranchers trying to sign them up. And there are lengthy bills, lengthy contracts, complicated contracts. I've seen some of them. Some of them we don't get to see because there's gag laws written into them, but it's a complicated industry, and like any new industry, it has its challenges. This bill is fairly simple. Down in our country, I have two bills that kind of deal with this issue today. This bill, I think, is fairly simple, and I hope it solves the problem that we have, because down in our country, a company from California came along, signed up a long neighborhood of farms with easements, and then they mortgaged the easements. Okay. And then they filed those mortgages at the courthouse. When that happened, for whatever reason, the mortgage became affected to the title of the land when the title companies did their search. Everybody agrees that shouldn't have happened. The Register of Deeds, I've talked to numerous Register of Deeds, that shouldn't have happened. Title companies have been kind of hard to get an answer out of, but they say they just record what's there. It's just a complicated issue. Now, down in our country, several people tried to sell their land during the time when the mortgages were on the easements. They tried to sell their land, and they couldn't get clear title to the land. Now, I know in one particular case, a retired couple trying to retire had a willing buyer in a contract, and they clearly could not get a title to their land, tried to deal with the company. They kind of got the brush off. I don't think the company ever intended for this to happen, but they weren't quick to remedy the situation. And this retired couple waiting on their retirement ran up lots of legal bills, and it took a year or more, and meanwhile they lost their willing buyer, and the land is still not sold today. So I don't know what the fix is. We thought about possibly just saying that mortgage wind easements shouldn't be filed at the courthouse. That would fix it, I guess, but it seems like that's where they should be filed. So we thought maybe, excuse me, it's early in the morning for me. We thought perhaps we could just outlaw the idea that you could even mortgage wind easements. It seems a little odd to me, but I guess it's a standard way of doing business in this new industry where it's very speculative. People go out and speculate on these easements, and the first thing they need is cash, so they have an asset, an easement, so they mortgage the easement. I tried to come up with, I don't know if it's a solution, but at least a red flag to landowners that there is a problem and that they should at least be aware of it. And if a problem does result, at least they can go specifically to a statute and say, look, this is what the law says, that when the mortgage on the easement does not affect the title to the land. I think we all know that's the way it should be, but in reality, it doesn't always play out that way. There's a simple amendment that the developers have asked me to do, and I have no problem with it. The amendment, when we offer it, will simply take out the notification, which does seem burdensome and probably unnecessary, and just makes the easement contract a little bit longer. So it's fairly simple. I think it just lays out in statute what we already know. But if a 75-year-old farm wife is trying to deal with a wind developer in California, at least she can go to a statute in the law books, or her legislator can help her and say, look, this is what it says. It's that simple, and maybe she wouldn't have to run up $5,000 or $10,000 in legal fees. So,
Representative Hoff, before you leave, on your amendments, you may want to make one change. It says on page 1, line 1, that's the enacting clause. I think you meant on page. Oh, there's another amendment. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had the wrong one. So you've got... Oh, that's the title. I'm sorry. On page 2, line 2. All right. It is accurate. I was looking at the title amendment. I thought you were trying to change line 1. Sorry about that. Thank you, Representative Hanoff. Any further proponents to House Bill 1112? Good morning. Mr. Anderson, is your mic on, please?
Better. In our business, we get questions every day, virtually every day, all day, from rural electric cooperative members. And these are good calls because they are being approached by developers with the possibility of seeing turbines on their land. And I think we all agree that that's a good thing. Every time that we get those calls, our standard recommendation is that they see an attorney to help walk them through that process. I'm convinced and always will be convinced that that is absolutely the best thing that they could do. Unfortunately, they don't always do that, and they, for whatever reason. And for that reason alone, we believe that this is a good bill. For those who choose not to seek legal advice, who cannot afford to seek legal advice, the more information that they have in front of them to make an informed decision on their own, from our perspective, the better off they are and the better off we will all be ultimately. So for that reason, we would urge your support of House Bill 1112.
Thank you, sir. Any further proponents? House Bill 1112. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1112? Any opponents to House Bill 1112? Seeing none, any questions from the committee? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Representative Hunhoff.
Yes, sir.
I believe your aim here is to protect the property owner, is that correct?
Yes, to make it very clear, if they do get into a...
Mr. Representative, mic, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Is it on?
Yeah,
it's on. Okay, thank you.
I'll speak up, thank you. Yes, sir, Representative Les. I think the aim is to make it very clear to all parties, whether it be a developer out of state or a landowner in South Dakota or somebody at the courthouse or a title company, that we're all on the same page and we know exactly what the law should mean.
Follow up. Do you think that it may be more an appropriate place to address this issue in the title standards provisions of our code? Because it seems to me your issue is really not with the law, it's how a title company responded to a mortgaged easement.
I'm not acquainted with those. I've talked to title companies, a number of title companies, on they shrugged off any responsibility and didn't suggest that as a solution, and I'm not acquainted with the procedures.
Okay.
It seems that perhaps something could be done there as well. It seems that when people have a trouble, they oftentimes go to the statutes, and this would be a good place to make a declaration to me that this is the way the law reads.
Well, just, that's fine, thanks.
Any further questions? Thank you, Representative Hanoff. Seeing no further questions, are there any committee comments and or action? Representative Engels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at this amendment, 1112 TA, and it seems to me that the amendment isn't drafted very well. I understand what they're getting at, but the way that the amendment is drafted, it produces a very long run-on sentence. So I suggest that we do something other than TA, and it's very easy to do without creating a run-on sentence. I guess I can't make a preparatory remark, so somebody else will have to do it.
Well, why don't you explain what you'd like, and then we'll find a motion for it.
Okay. I think what we should do is on page 2, line 2, after the word easement, delete, comma, the property owner shall be notified of the mortgage or the encumbrance, and then leave the period there in the beginning of the new sentence.
So you're suggesting that easement be the final word in that sentence?
Yes.
Are you in? Are you suggesting that we put a period after easement?
Yes.
And then
the period there, just move the period after the word easement.
Okay, so we would have, or otherwise encumbers to any party, any part of the easement holder's rights and interest under the easement, period. Any such mortgage, it would begin the next line. So we're deleting the words, the property owner shall be notified of the mortgage or encumbrance. Is that accurate? And the comma.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noem.
That leaves a fragment in the statute. I would recommend that we move Amendment 1112TA.
A motion to move 1112TA, the amendment as it was distributed, correct?
Yes.
And we have a second. Any comments?
No, but I think if you read that sentence, it makes sense. It's long, but I think it's the only way that the industry is willing to endorse this legislation, and it is something they've obviously worked out, and it serves its purpose. So, yes, it's a long sentence, but it does make sense, and it is written correctly, I believe.
Further comments? Hearing none, we have a motion on the floor for amendment 1112TA. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. House Bill 1112 is so amended. Any further comment and or action to the amended bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill, recommend due pass for House Bill 1112.
Motion by Noem, second by Rave to send 1112 as amended to the House floor. Any comments, Representative Noem?
No, I'm not convinced this is the perfect way to solve this solution, although I do think it will serve a purpose for those people out there that are in these wind contracts right now. And I think it will allow some notification for producers and for people who are landowners so they don't find themselves in this type of situation. So I think it's a bill that we keep moving, and I think it'll serve a good purpose for the good of South Dakota.
Any further comments? Where'd that come from? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I urge the committee to vote against this motion. I look at this bill and it seems like, especially with the amendment added, the intention of the sponsor is gutted. If it started out as being protective somehow of the landowner, and then you take out any notification obligation of the mortgage to the landowner. So, and as you move through the proposed changes, the last sentence is meaningless. It accomplishes nothing. It merely states what is black letter law. Each wind easement agreement shall include a statement disclosing that the easement holder may mortgage or encumber. Well, you have that right. It's an interest in property. You have that right. It's a given. The sentence goes on to say then you have that right, but you can otherwise contract it away. And that is the law as well. So I think the last sentence serves no purpose. And then as to the statement that the heart of this is in line 2 on page 2. Any such mortgage or encumbrance on the easement is a responsibility of the easement holder and does not attach to the land. Well, and that again is a statement of black letter law. It does not attach to a land, it attaches to the easement. It's no different than having a leasehold mortgage. When I mortgage a lease, if I have a lease in property and I mortgage that, that does not give the creditor an interest in the land. It gives the creditor an interest in the lease. This is exactly the same. I think this bill, while well-intentioned, serves no purpose other than to state what is the law. And well, moreover, if there is a need for this, it belongs in the title standard section of the code, not this provision. So with that, I would urge the committee to vote against the due pass motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lawson. Any further comments? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think this law is a total solution to a problem, but I think it could help. In this particular case that I referenced, they did seek an attorney's help and spent some dollars before they signed the easement. They sought attorney's help, and the attorney didn't suggest that this could be a problem. I don't think anybody recognized that it could be a problem. And all I'm suggesting with this law, this bill, is that we have a new industry. It's complicated, very complicated, and people who are not so well schooled in the law are out there signing easements today as we speak. They and their attorneys maybe need to at least have a red flag that this could be a problem. And I think having it in statute, the first place people look, perhaps as they look for protections, they'll see this, and at least the issue will come to mind. And then later on, as I said earlier, when they do have an issue, at least they can go to one place and see very clearly that this is the law, this is how we feel about wind easements and mortgages, so that hopefully it would cut some of the red tape, cut down the lengthy negotiations between wind energy developers, attorneys, landowners. I mean, it was a complicated case in Yankton County. This may not be the total fix, but I think it's a helpful step.
Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chairman, are we speaking to the amendment, or are we speaking to the bill, or all together?
You're speaking to the bill as amended.
Okay. Just a point of clarification on what title standards are. Title standards are not really the law. They're a restatement of the law. So the question is whether we want to just have it in there as an explanation. This is just for the education of the committee, as an explanation or as part of statute. Just stating in the very beginning of Chapter 4330, it says the State Bar of South Dakota title standards are the work of the Real Property Probate and Trust Section, Title Standards Committee. The standards themselves are not the authority, rather restatement of the law. So just keep that in mind as we go forward, that the title standards are very important, but they aren't the law.
Representative Ingalls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While Representative Luss might be right that this is a statement of the black letter law, there are a lot of attorneys such as myself who don't deal in this area of law. And if we're faced with any kind of questions, the first place we're going to turn is the statutes. And I think it's helpful to have it in the statute here so that we could find it. It's a lot easier to find it in a statute than to do a complicated search of case law and everything else. So I think this is the appropriate place to have this.
Further comment? Hearing none, the motion on before the committee is a due pass on House Bill 1112 as amended. All in favor of the motion will signify, will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
No.
Rausch.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Nome.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 12 yes and 1 no.
House Bill 1112, as amended, will be sent to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. We have a title amendment before us. Motion by whom? Representative Rave, second by Representative Nome for title amendment to House Bill 1112. Any questions? Hearing none, all in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passed. I'm sorry, we didn't get it. I have it before me if you'd like to see it. With that, we will take up House Bill 1113, requiring the filing of the complete contents of wind easement agreements with the Register of Deeds. Proponents for House Bill 1113.
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning again, Representative Hunhoff.
Good morning again.
I don't think your mic is on.
It's on. I'll get it real close. I'm sorry. My name is Bernie Hunhoff. I'm a state representative from Yankton County, District 18, and thank you again for allowing me to speak to the bill. Imagine, if you could, ladies and gentlemen, what it would be like in rural South Dakota if there was no price reporting for, let's say, just take livestock or any of the commodities. Let's say that cattle prices were totally in secret, and you didn't really know what your neighbors were selling for. Maybe there were even gag laws. If you sold a cow, there was a gag law, and you couldn't tell your neighbor across the fence what the cow sold for. So you could expect that cows might be selling anywhere from $100 to $1,500. Nobody would know. There'd be rumors, but nobody would know. The same thing is happening today, again, as we speak, with wind energy development. There are people out in the country today, good people with good intentions, working on a new and unregulated industry, and landowners and ranchers and farmers are signing easements today. Everywhere from zero, truly, there are people working up in northwestern South Dakota asking to sign people up for zero with promises to come, all the way up to promises of $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 a turbine. Huge disparity. What this bill seeks to do is the same thing that we've done in so many other commodities. Oil and gas leases many times are public. Often we've gone to great lengths to make sure that crop and livestock commodities are public. This would seek to do the very same thing. It would seek to make sure there are no gag laws written into easements, and it would try to create some kind of a price for what these wind easements are worth. And the bill, I think, is fairly simple. We already, as you just talked about in the previous bill, we already know that the easement itself must be filed at the Register of Deeds. This very simply says that a complete copy of the easement shall be filed there. So it prohibits any opportunity for a gag law, and it starts to give some price transparency to the whole process. The very same thing we have in gas and oil and cattle and corn. I think it's a fairly simple bill. It's a workable bill. I've talked to Register of Deeds offices. The structure for payment is already in place on a per page piece. So it's fairly simple, seems almost too simple, and I suspect there probably will be complications, but I think it's a very important bill. I spoke earlier to the effect that we need to protect landowners and we need to maximize benefits to the communities. Those are the important things. I'm not one who thinks that we can necessarily expect that communities are going to own wind farms. I would like to think that would be the case, but it's a complicated industry. If you think ethanol plants are tough to start, wind energy plants are probably 100 times more difficult and more complex. But we can at least make sure that landowners have some transparency, so they know what the neighbors are signing, so they can talk across the fence to each other about what's happening in the industry. So I think it's a fairly simple bill. It's doable. It's workable. The Register of Deeds are with us on it. They did ask for one simple amendment that we can speak to earlier that doesn't change the content of the bill whatsoever. So that's House Bill 1113.
Thank you, Representative Hunhoff. Any further proponents for House Bill 1113? Any further proponents to House Bill 1113? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1113? Any opponents? Good morning.
Members of the committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Pierre. I'm a registered lobbyist for Iberdrola Renewables. Iberdrola is a Spanish corporation which is widely reputed to be the largest developer of wind projects in the world. Iberdrola, or its predecessors, have built the Min Dakota project on the state line, Buffalo Ridge 1, which is a project recently brought online in Brookings County, and are currently permitting Buffalo Ridge 2, which will be in Brookings County, straddling over into Dual County. We do oppose House Bill 1113. I heard Representative Hunhoff categorize the current situation as being a gag on people, and I do have to take issue with that. Projects of this sort are tightly regulated and subject to a number of constraints, which might not be apparent until you are trying to permit and build and have the economics in place, your agreements with the people who have to buy the wind, your agreements with the people that have to buy their transport, the power from one place to the next, and then you have numerous interlocking agreements with hundreds of landowners. I sent out notices in December to 533 landowners for a 300 megawatt project in Brookings County, and all those people have to agree to be a part of the project. They have no authority to condemn a project whatsoever. And so we would, we operate in, under that kind of a scenario where it is difficult to achieve these agreements with parties put your project in place. We don't think that providing the level of disclosure that Representative Hunoff describes to you is necessary in order to be a good neighbor and a good partner with landowners in South Dakota. We would typically find the opposite is true, that our landowners are not interested in having their neighbors know what their particular deal is with the Iberdrola in this case, or with other wind developers in general. It would be our experience that landowners are interested very much in the confidentiality. One final piece I'll give to you on that argument is that we all know that land is unique, not like gasoline or in many cases livestock, such as was described to you during the proponent testimony. Every piece of land has a different potential to generate wind power from it. That can be very difficult for landowners to understand, but a simple change in elevation from one parcel to the next creates a tremendous differential sometimes in the potential and the value of that property for a wind energy project. And when if we had to start putting the whole world on notice of what the deals were, A, I think it'd be very difficult to build projects. Holdouts are a problem. And B, you'd create tremendous dissent, I think, among landowners who wouldn't see the differential in the potential values of their property to the project. So with that, we would oppose, I should say, we're certainly in favor of dealing honestly, fairly, and forthrightly with our landowners. We have to, because they have to agree. But we would oppose the legislature making us tell everybody, the whole world, what our deal is with any particular participant. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennecke. Any further opponents? House Bill 1113. Morning, Mr. Gertis.
Good morning, Representative Fain. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dave Gertis. I'm a lawyer from Pier, and I represent Titan Wind Energy. Titan Wind Energy is an LLP between BP and Clipper Energy, and they have started the work to permit a 5,000 megawatt wind farm, generally speaking, south of Miller. I won't repeat what Mr. Kennecke said, but I will say that Titan Wind Energy agrees with the position Iberdrola has taken on this piece of legislation. I've heard of it referred to in the hallway as the nosy neighbor bill. However you want to characterize it, we would agree with what Mr. Kennecke said, and that is that most landowners, in fact, want to keep this kind of information private. And it doesn't really foster any ease in putting together a project by having landowners competing. Now, if Mr. Kennecke and I are neighbors and Mr. Kennecke wants to know what I paid for a wind lease, certainly he can ask me. If I want to tell him, I'll tell him, and if I don't want to tell him, I won't. And it seems to me that that's really the fair way to do it. And so for all the reasons that Mr. Kennecke indicated and for the reasons I've indicated, we would recommend that you not pass this bill. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any further opponents to House Bill 1113? Any further opponents? Seeing none, we'll open to committee questions. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hunoff, would you like a short rebuttal? Certainly, I'm sorry.
Well, very briefly, Mr. Chairman, the opposition seems to come around to the fact that farmers and ranchers want confidentiality, and I say nobody has benefited more from transparency than the South Dakota and American farmers and ranchers. And you can ask any farmer, and he'll usually answer the question, ask any farmer how much land he has, how many cattle he has, and you can, in about 10 seconds on a napkin, figure out what his gross is, maybe not his net, but his gross. I guarantee you farmers and ranchers understand the value of transparency in agriculture, and this is usually the agreements they sign in this case are going to be minuscule compared to their overall operation, but important to the community at large and important to them. They already benefit from transparency, and if they felt the way these gentlemen suggest, they would fill this room. You know that. They're not shy about coming to the legislature. They would fill this room with opposition.
Thank you, Representative Hunhoff. Now we'll move into any questions from the committee. Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Representative Hunhoff. Recognizing the opponent's concern about private contracts and not being subject to letting everybody know what the details are, is there a way we can collect the data and have that available like we do with our crop reporting and our cash rent reporting, where you can look at each county and see what the cash rents are? Is there a way that we can look at these wind farms on a county by county, and even some counties are broken down into different areas, and see what the lease payments are reflective of, because there are differences, as opponents point out, as far as the potential for wind energy?
Yes, and I think that's what this bill attempts to do in a very, very simple way, using filing mechanisms that are already in place on the county level. Anybody who has some concerns can go to the courthouse now and find this information. And it won't just benefit the landowners who are trying to, you know, figure out what these easement agreements are all about. It won't just benefit the landowners. Neighboring landowners may be affected by these easements, and they have a right to know what's coming up in their neighborhood. Local utilities have an interest in knowing what's in these easement contracts, and have been very surprised in many cases, as I think you're going to find out later in this legislative session and other bills. Some of our local utilities have run into problems with the easement contracts. And truly in other states, and I don't know that this has happened yet in South Dakota, but truly in other states, gag laws have been written in, total gag laws, where they cannot share the information with their legislator, with their neighbor. So in Wyoming in particular, there's a huge effort underway to get landowners to group together in groups and not negotiate one-on-one with the developers. And I'm not trying to make the developers out to be bad guys, but truly some transparency needs to be put into effect.
Further questions? Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Mr. Kaneki, if I could. Are you aware of anywhere else in the code where the complete easement agreement would be required to be filed? Looks like, is this with the Register of Deeds? Yeah. Did that question make sense?
I think so. If I might, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gosh, I think your question is there anywhere else in the code where, if I can turn it around and let me clarify your question, are you asking me maybe, is there anywhere where a short form contract is prohibited from being recorded, as in a memorandum? Typically, memorandums of lease or easement are recorded in these wind energy filings, a one or two page simple filing that puts the world on constructive notice that the parties have entered into an agreement on a particular parcel of property. If your question is, am I aware of anywhere else in the code where a memorandum is prohibited, I'm searching my mind and I can't come up with one. I wouldn't say that's the case, because I haven't researched it. If your question is there a place where the easement in its entirety has to be recorded, I can't come up with that either. I'm thinking of oil and gas and other matters. And I could be wrong, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll move into committee comment and or action. Comments from the committee. Representative Engels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Amendment 1113 TA.
Motion by Representative Engels, second by Representative Feinstein. Motion 1113 TA. Does every member have a copy? Comments, Representative Ingalls?
No, thank you, Chair.
For the sake of those of you who don't have the amendment before you, on the amendment on page 1, line 7, would delete a complete copy of the and insert instead the word the. On page 1, line 8, it would delete filed and the and insert filed with an overstrike. On page 1, line 9, it would delete the word easement. Any other comment on the amendment? Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Register of Deeds Association, as I think I said earlier, asked for these, and I think they're fairly meaningless. It's just editing.
Further comment? Hearing none. All in favor of the amendment will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Amendment passed. House Bill 1113 as amended. Any other comment or committee action? Close enough. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to defer House Bill 1113 as amended to the 41st day.
Motion by Representative Lust, second by Representative Rave to defer House Bill 1113 to the 41st legislative day. Comments, Representative Lust.
Thank you, and I hope Representative Hunhoff doesn't feel I'm picking on him today. I think my reason for opposing this legislation is goes back to the very purpose of why we require easements or recommend easements be filed. The purpose for, be it easements, contract for deed, mortgages, leasehold interest, what have you, is to really put creditors and potential buyers on notice of what is encumbering this land. And to now expand that in the case of easements, and I think what would hold good for wind power easements would hold true for any easement, to now extend that to say you've got to include all the details of your arrangement really is not consistent with the purpose of why we have these things recorded. The easement holder wants it recorded to have his or her interest on record for the world to know that it has an interest in this property. The details of that interest are really immaterial. It really only matters that there is an interest, and then you're talking about priorities as to who has an interest in the property. And so in that respect, adding the details not only I think is unduly cumbersome to have to attach numerous exhibits and agreements, it's completely unnecessary and is counter to the very purpose of why we have these things filed in the first place. Thank you.
Further comments? Representative Feinstein.
I guess I'd like to have a substitute motion do pass.
Substitute motion for due pass on 1113. Second in the motion. Second by Representative Lucas. Comments?
Mr. Chair, thank you. You know, I think we heard some testimony from lobbyists of big industry. And I heard that over 500 landowners may be involved in a certain wind farm. I think that's all the more reasons for citizens to have knowledge. Knowledge is power. When you don't know, you lose that power. And it's hard for me to imagine. We are here for the people and the citizens of South Dakota. Yes, we're also here for development and those purposes. But I would contend that the proponent of this bill, the sponsor of this bill, without talking to folks for months, and he was talking to the landowners. He wasn't talking to out-of-state companies and out-of-country companies. And I believe that the landowners are who wants this. We heard some testimony from one of the opponents, too, that represents big oil and big industry, and saying that he believes that the citizens don't want this chance to transparency. Well, who's he representing? He's they're representing the industry, they're paid by the industry, they're not representing the landowner. And I urge that this is a transparency law We've all been talking for several years about more transparency in the state. This is a way we can do it right up front in an emerging industry in the state of South Dakota, so I urge due pass on this.
Further comments, Representative Noem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to ask you to resist this motion. I believe that if producers wanted their business as public information, they would do so. Just as the testimony was, if producers wanted to talk across the fence, they would do so. And they do talk because they're proud of their businesses and they're proud of what they do. But if we are going to start requiring that we file this type of business information, then maybe every cash rent contract should be public information. Maybe every car sale that you buy or sell or what you sell things for should be public information and be filed. These are not things I believe that producers really want. And I didn't hear any producers here testifying today on behalf of this bill saying that they've been burned in this situation, that this would have fixed everything. We also in our county governments have overworked counties. This would require extra work for them to do. They're out of money already. I think it'd be undue burden on them. And so I'm going to ask you to resist this motion.
Further comments, Representative Rave.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe Representative Hunhoff is well-intentioned in this bill, and I appreciate him bringing it forward. What I do have a concern about is the continual use of throwing around transparency and gag laws. When we talk about those terms, we're talking about governmental entities. This is, as I understand it, unless I'm completely off base, is an agreement between a private company, maybe albeit a big company, and a private purchaser, a landowner, my land. That information is not for the public. If I choose to get $8,000 for my little acre or zero, that's my choice. And it's nobody's business. When we're not talking about government entities, I think it's we're using the terms interchangeably, and I don't think it's appropriate. I'd urge you to resist the substitute motion and move it to the 41st day. Thanks.
Further comments, Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I guess I would echo those. I would ask the committee to also resist the motion, the substitute motion. I run a retail business, a family business, and to me this would be no different than somebody coming in and requiring me to post publicly all of the contracts that I have with all the individual families that come into my business because they're afraid that I might give Joe Blow a better deal than his neighbor when it comes to the product he's purchasing from me. And I think it's a slippery slope. We open it up for this, which seems like a well-intentioned, good idea, and then where does it end? And they talked about ranch and farm. Well, if you're doing daily trading, the cows in my pasture are going to be way different valued than the cows in the other pasture if we sell them a week apart. We know what that day's price is, but that continues to fluctuate. It's not a target that is right there and here. We know exactly what they're making. We have no idea. We know what they got for the cattle they hauled in that day or for the contract they've signed, and it continues to fluctuate. My business would be no different. Easements would be no different. The value of the property we heard changes, and if the company gets an easement and wants to put a wind tower up and runs into more difficult land, their margins change in putting up their towers, and I do not think that this is going to help any of the landowners, and I would ask the committee to resist the substitute motion.
Further comments, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're being accused on two fronts here. One that is too simple that we can just report it at the courthouse in a mechanism that's already in place, and the Register of Deeds. I don't know if they welcome this, but they certainly don't resist it because the mechanism is in place to charge the money. So it can be done very simply without any added FTEs. Now, on the other hand, if I'd have brought a new bill that created a whole other office in PUC or somewhere and added a couple FTEs and spent $250,000, you'd justifiably criticize me for adding to state government. So we're doing this in a very simple way, in a doable way that's self-supporting. The Register of Deeds tell me that it would pay for itself and they would welcome the revenue. As far as whether it seems to be the real issue does come down to is transparency an appropriate thing, and that's an appropriate philosophical disagreement that I can accept.
I maintain it's in precedent already with oil and gas leases, with most commodities. Representative Rouse, if we walk into your store, all your prices are posted. We can find out what all your prices are. That's not the case with wind energy development. And out in rural, as we speak today again, in rural South Dakota, people who have not a clue what these turbines are worth, what these easements are worth, are being negotiated with by people from out of state, and they need some protection. So I'd urge you to support the bill.
Further comments? Representative Ingalls?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would urge you to support the bill as well. I don't think this is any different than when mortgages are filed with the Register of Deeds, saying the price of the purchase and the price that's the amount that's owed on the mortgage. I think this is the exact same thing.
Further comments, Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly respect the right of an individual and to enter into a private contract, and that information should be confidential. But on the other hand, you need to know what average prices are. What is the average prices for wind development leases for putting a wind turbine on your property? I know of several cases of elderly ladies who have inherited some land, they're widowers, and they're amount of cash rent they're getting is far below. In some cases, it was half as what the average cash rent is for that county average price. And it's only when the land may be moved on to some other heirs in the family that was rectified, because the younger siblings were able to go on and get to the internet or go to, you know, the county and get that information what those cash rent prices are. So what this does is it gives the individual landowners more information so they can find out, you know, what they should be getting for their leases on their property. And I recognize that's going to vary from land to land, and even within the county, depending on how much wind happens to blow through there and what the, you know, elevation it sets at. This may not be perfect, but somehow we need to create a system where these average prices can be made available to the public.
Further comments? Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Last year, this body passed a bill that talks about how to value land production method. You know, if we don't have these values out there and open to the public, how are we going to even be able to value these, you know, in that context? And I believe that there's every reason that we, the state of South Dakota, the citizens of South Dakota, need to know this in order to come up with the proper valuations of our taxation. I know we're starting to mix some things here, but it all comes together, and we just have to know. Otherwise, we're going to get into situations where people maybe just aren't telling the truth when it comes to what I'm producing on my land, what land it's producing as far as income. And I believe this is part of that, just part of that process. Thank you. So I urge you to pass this motion.
Further comments? So just make a final comment. I do believe that the issue of transparency kind of bleeds in and out of this issue. And I believe if this was the government signing leases with these landowners, then we would have an issue of transparency, because the people's money, the taxpayers' money, is involved. However, this is a different issue. This is a business transaction between two private companies, in this case, the wind energy company and the landowner. In South Dakota, I think we still live in an area where, for the most part, people don't want government sticking their nose into what's their business. If they choose to tell their neighbors, or anyone else for that matter, what their lease agreement with the wind energy company is, they have every right to do so. But I think a lot of landowners would probably be unhappy if we forced them, which this law would do, to reveal a deal that they made regarding their personal property. With that, the motion on the floor is a do pass for House Bill 1113. All in favor of the do pass motion will signify by saying aye. All opposed will say no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Broomgarden.
Nay.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
No.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Nay.
Rausch.
Nay.
Rave.
No.
Steele.
Nay.
Turberville.
No.
Gnome.
No.
Fain.
No.
Mr. Chairman, we have 4 yes, 9 no.
Motion for due pass on House Bill 1113 has failed, which would revert to the previous motion, which was to send House Bill 1113 to the 41st legislative day. Are there any further comments on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, which is to send House Bill 1113 to the 41st legislative day, all in favor of that motion will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarten.
Aye.
Ingalls.
No.
Feinstein.
No.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
No.
Lucas.
No.
Lust.
Aye.
Rausch.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Gnome.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 9 yes and 4 no.
House Bill 1113 will be referred to the 41st legislative day. With that, before we adjourn, for those of you in the room, once again, a reminder up in the front row, we hate to see them go to waste. Bob Ryder bought donuts today, and from what I understand, that doesn't happen real often, so let's please eat them. They're in the front row up here in the chair right in front. Any further business come before the committee? We have a motion by Representative Lucas to adjourn, second by Representative Gnome. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Meeting adjourned.